Blog Talk Radio.
Record presents to us divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. And so the epistemology is completely different. And so therefore, when we study the Word of God, our understanding should be changed as well. That is, we should come to appreciate divine viewpoint. Now, one of the most significant chapters in all of the Word of God, and particularly in the book of Genesis, is Genesis chapter 10. In Genesis chapter 10, we are given what has been called the Table of the Nations. And one must understand Genesis 10 if one is to understand the Tower of Babel. Let me say at the beginning of today's show that Babel here means confusion. And so this was divine viewpoint of this particular tower. It was, some writers have said that it was designed after the ziggurats that one finds in the ancient Near East. Maybe this was true, maybe it is not. However, this tower was a symbol of human autonomy. That is, human beings wanted to create a super political religious state that was independent of God. Notice, this was right after the great flood. And so we are given here an understanding of human propensity for atheistic autonomy. Notice in chapter 10 that verse 1 we read these words. This is the account of Shem, Cam, not Ham, but Cam, K-H-A-M. We have Cam in the Hebrew, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. But it's very interesting about the Word of God is that the Word of God never talks about races. The term race is never used in the Word of God. And I say that because there are four types of human blood groups. We have A, B, AB, and O. And Paul writes, or Paul stated in the book of Acts, in Acts 17:26, that there was one group, one human family. And so human blood groups point back to a single genetic origin for all people, regardless of so-called race. Please understand that the term race is a creation of 19th century anthropology. And scientific literature today does not support the idea of race. However, it has entered into common vernacular and into popular understanding, and so therefore it governs perception of others, which is really unfortunate. And that's why we study the Word of God, in order to understand accurately who we are and who others are in the sight of God. So, in Genesis chapter 10, we have, first of all, Japheth is, the Japhethites are spoken about, the sons of Japheth in verse 2. 14 nations come from Japheth. Anglo-Saxons, the English people, the Teutonic peoples, or the German and European groups come from this particular person. Next, after the family of Japheth and the offspring and the descendants of Japheth, in verse 6, we have the family or the nations that come from Ham. 30 nations originate from Ham. Cush, the Africans, the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, the Copts, Cush, Mitzrayim, Put, and Canaan. And what is very interesting is that in verse 8 we read that Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, in the Hebrew, the idea is that Nimrod was a mighty hunter of the souls of men. A mighty hunter of souls. And now, so Nimrod is therefore a type of the Antichrist. And so we know that these individuals, because of the melanin content of their skin, were darker, because where they lived, where they were placed upon the earth. So we were given to understand how these things come about and why these particular individuals have hair that allows them to get rid of sweat and cool themselves from the heat. And the descendants of Japheth had long hair that protected them from cold, and so therefore would keep in heat because of their particular climatologies. Now, in verse 10, we read the first centers of his kingdom, that is of Nimrod, were Babylon, Erech, Akkad, Calne, and Shinar, or Babylonia. From that land he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ir, Calne, and Resen, which is between Nineveh and Calah. That is the great city. And then we have, in verse 13, Mitzrayim. The IM suffix is plural. And so then we go on and we speak about, in verse 21, we talk about the family of Shem, or the Semites. And 26 nations originate from Shem. We're told that the Semites spoke the lip of Canaan. Please reference Isaiah 19:18, the lip of Canaan, or the language of Canaan. Canaanite is part of a group of West Semitic languages, of which Hebrew, Phoenician, and Moabite were dialects. And so Israel spoke the lip of Canaan, the lip of Canaan. And so we're told in verse 25 about the sons of Eber. One was named Peleg, because in his time the earth was divided. The earth was divided. Very significant information is given. Some believe that the statement with regard to Peleg refers to the breaking up of the earth into geographical regions or different land masses. And others believe that this has to do with the division of languages, or what will happen at the tower, or in this Tower of Babel. So let me go on. Verse 30, the region where they lived stretched from Mesha toward Siphar in the eastern hill country. These are the sons of Shem by their clans and languages and their territories and nations. These are the clans of Noah's sons, according to their lines of descent within their nations. For these nations spread out over the earth after the flood. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar. Now remember, we studied about Cush, or the descendants of Cam. We read about Shinar, which is another name for Babylonia. When we read in the book of Daniel about Babylon, that is the Neo-Babylonian Empire. But here we're talking about ancient Babylon. In the scripture, Babylon, again, is a symbol of confusion and autonomy or independence from God. So they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. This geography is very important because unending conflict began there and will end there. So this is prophetically very important. And so they say to each other in verse 3, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They use brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city of man, as St. Augustine speaks about in his great works. If you have time, you should read The City of Man and The City of God by St. Augustine. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. The Hebrew reads the name, not a name, but the Shem, the name. And so here they declared their autonomy, their independence. It was the will of God that men should scatter abroad over the face of the earth. But these individuals said, no, we're going to create a super political, monistic religious state that is going to be autonomous of God, or independent of God. Verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Come. And God uses the same language that they did. God says, come, let us go down and confuse Babel, their language. They will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth. And they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So this is a very chapter, and please understand that we will have the Tower of Babel symbol, the Tower of Babel superstate given to us in the book of Revelation. And it is very powerful indeed. There will be a superstate that will come upon the face of the earth. And God again will have to break it up. In our next show, we're going to address some of the similarities between the Tower of Babel and the city state that is to come in the last days. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a blessed day.